The Gap recently announced that it's closing nearly 200 stores in the U.S., more than a fifth of all its locations here. At the same time, the company will triple its number of stores in China. That comes as another Western retailing giant, the PHV Group, best known for brands including Izod, Tommy Hilfiger, and Calvin Klein, plans to open 3,000 stores across China. The company is pegging its growth on sales outside the U.S., which have tripled in the last 3 years. So is China replacing the U.S. as the primary market for consumer goods? Economist Ishvar Prasad was head of the China Vision at the International Monetary Fund, and he's now a professor at Cornell University. Professor, first, what was your reaction to the news that The Gap is closing stores here while rapidly opening them in China? Surprise, or did you see that coming?
It's hardly a surprise. It's in fact emblematic of a trend we've been seeing among many retailers, among many manufacturers who are looking to the emerging markets in particular, and especially those in East Asia, China and India, for instance, as the markets of the future. This doesn't mean that those economies have gotten as rich as the U.S. The U.S. economy remains much richer. So the average American has a per capita income of about $48,000. The average Chinese has a per capita income of about $4,500. But the Chinese middle class are growing fast. The demand for consumer goods, especially high-quality consumer goods, is rising very fast. And China is growing at an inflation-adjusted rate of about 10 to 11% a year. In the U.S., we're experiencing growth of 1 to 2% a year. So just in terms of sheer growth momentum, I think retailers see Asia and other emerging markets as being the future.
So that growing Chinese middle class means they have more spending money in their pockets. They then have more appetite for stuff, for buying stuff. And retailers see that and they see a potential gold mine?
That's exactly right. And the interesting feature about China also is that in China, consumption right now accounts for only about one-third of GDP, whereas in the U.S. it's about two-thirds of GDP. And the Chinese government is trying very hard to make its fantastic growth better for its consumer. And if they can actually do that and continue to generate this sort of growth, it's almost a no-brainer that for any retailer or producer, that is the market they're going to be looking to.
So even though the Chinese don't spend as much as we do now, they're still attractive even at the rate that they are now spending.
That's exactly right. And the other fact is that the U.S. market is saturated in some dimensions because, after all, there is a limit to how many cars you can buy and how many Gap jeans you can buy. On the other hand, in China, given that the population is just ascending into middle-class status and is getting a lot more disposable income that they can use, that's where the enormous growth in consumption is going to be. So it's not just income and consumption trends, but also the fact that demand is going to rise because it's not a saturated market yet.
I wonder how much is the economic downturn in the U.S. a factor? Are Americans feeling less financially strong and therefore they're not spending as much, and that's also forcing retailers to look overseas?
Now, given the uncertainties around the world, business and consumer confidence across the world, not just in the U.S., but also in China, are much weaker. But again, the Chinese are relatively more confident about their future because, after all, this is an economy that has been growing for a long time now, nearly a couple of decades, and there is no obvious prospect of that growth slowing. Having said that, one concern about Chinese growth, in fact, in addition to this low consumption to GDP ratio, is the fact that they're actually not generating that much employment growth.
You mentioned Chinese consumer confidence. There is some talk that there could be a real estate bubble in China. Is there any chance that consumer confidence is misguided?
There is certainly concern about the real estate bubble, but again, the implications of that bubble are very different from the sort of bubble we had in the U.S., which had fairly disastrous consequences. And the reason for that is that even if there was a bubble in China, it's not built on leverage or debt the way the American real estate bubble was. So even if it were to pop, it isn't likely to have as disastrous consequences. And there is the more fundamental question about whether there is, in fact, a bubble. I suspect there are significant problems in the Chinese housing market, and some of these could come home to roost in the next year or two. But again, the consequences, even if that happens, won't quite be the sort of disaster that we saw in the U.S.
You mentioned that it's not just China that U.S. retailers are looking to try to ramp up sales. It's really, as you put it, the economies of the future.
Economies like India, Brazil, even Russia, those are the economies that over the last decade have been growing very fast. Even during the worst of the global financial crisis years, 2008, 2009, those were the economies that were supporting world growth. So I think we will see a shift of emphasis in terms of sales of consumer goods. In fact, for major luxury car makers like Mercedes-Benz and BMW and so forth, the growth in markets like China is much greater than the growth in markets of the advanced economies of Europe or North America. And again, in China, if one thinks about some of the top-end malls in Beijing and Shanghai, for instance, when I go in, I'm shocked at the prices.
We came across a stat that said that Walmart says its international operation will outpace its U.S. sales this year. Also, I believe that the Standard & Poor's, about a third of the revenue of the 500 companies on that index, now are foreign sales.
That's exactly right. In fact, across the board, there is also a demand for high-quality goods. And while in the U.S., Gap or Walmart may be seen as a middle-market retailer, in some of the emerging market economies where there still hasn't been significant domestic brand development, these brand names from the West and from the America in particular have a particular cachet, so they are seen as quality goods. And I think it's only reasonable that American retailers are hoping to cash in on that.
We've been talking about this as if it's a threatening thing for the U.S., but could it also be good in the long run in some ways?
It's ultimately good for American companies to be thinking about exploring and exploiting markets in the rest of the world. The big question really comes down to jobs, because if it turns out that in order to have an advantage in those markets and enter those markets, a lot of production is going to shift away from the United States, that is a bit of a concern. On balance, it's hard to tell, but I think it's going to be an unstoppable force. There really isn't very much we can do about it at this stage. The emphasis of retailers like Gap and Walmart is going to shift, much like economic power is shifting inexorably to the East. So it's just part of a much broader trend of economic power shifting to the emerging market economies.
Professor Prasad, thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Economist Ishvar Prasad was the head of the China division at the International Monetary Fund. He's now a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a professor at Cornell University.